Amen.
You're gonna shake my hand.
See that? We spoke in tongues right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you don't do that, you have to wonder if you're ever saved. How many of you have a Bible here tonight? Yeah, what is that, right? Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. And the reason I do that, if I don't go right to it, I may forget it. Just being totally honest with you.
Yes, sir.
My part here tonight is because I am technically challenged, I won't be using the PowerPoint. By the way, was that awesome last night?
Yes, sir.
Man, I'll tell you, that was absolutely excellent. I love being here. The reason why I love being here is because all of you act like little children. Isn't that the way we're supposed to be?
Amen.
I like the fact that at the age of 69, God calls you a little child. Mm. Amen. And suffer little children to come up to me, amen. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. I have thoroughly enjoyed the freedom that we can participate in here tonight. And it has been just a total joy. I love my nephew. He's more like my son, quite frankly. And we do go back quite a while. We're family, but you're every bit of my family because the blood of God runs through our spiritual veins. Amen. And I'm here tonight because I'm saved.
Yes.
I'm here tonight because I'm a child of God and we share this family together. And we have a book that we're not prejudiced about, at least in my experience. I have a preference, I have a bias. I have come across something that is perfect, but it's not because I didn't check into it. And what we did last night was kind of checking into the facts. What I loved about last night was that there was an intellectual component, but it was not hard to follow.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Right?
That's exactly right.
I used to have a man out there in Buffalo that would always tell me, Pastor, please make sure that the cookies are on the first shelf. And believe me, I'm a first shelf kind of preaching cookie kind of guy. Now, you'll probably figure it out that I'm kind of kooky also, but it's synonymous. It goes with the territory. And if you want a title, you know. And by the way, I wore a tie, okay? I wore a tie tonight to preach because I did not want to be accused, amen, of making the laws of baptism not affect by my tradition. I came last night with a bow tie. Somebody thought they were quite okay with that. And I were really, you know, it's liberty. Amen.
Yes,
but,
sir.
We got a guy here, and I don't know what that is, but one thing I do know, one day in eternity, we'll just have rules. We're going to do that as well, right?
Yeah.
But it's good. I remember, Brother Sam Gibb one time said something, and there are a lot of things that men say, and Brother Gibb is one of those guys. How many of you, who does not know Sam? Do you know Brother Sam Gibb, brother? You don't? Well, I'll tell you what, you love his preaching, his teaching, and he's really right along the lines of this whole topic here tonight, the King James Bible. But he said one day, he said, the best testimony is not having one. Because if you think about it, most testimonies, the things that God saves you from is usually just you're in the pit of sin. You know?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And I know a guy. I don't know if you know of a preacher named Pastor Tom Hauser. He's retired now, and they started a church called Open Door Over North Baptist Church, and as far as I know, I don't know that they had a strict position on it, but I know that that's the version that they used for a while. And that's the only man that I ever knew that said he never had a drink of liquor, he never smoked a cigarette, I don't think he even went to a movie theater at some point. And yet he understood that he needed to get saved. Amen?
Amen.
But I wish I had that kind of a testimony, but I don't. And I'm going to be sharing some things that I think I can. There's a lot of things that you're ashamed about. Amen? There are a lot of things that if you could, you
can't. That's right.
Amen? Yeah. So there's no bragging here but upon the Lord. Amen? If we're going to glory, we're going to glory in the Lord. Amen? Right. And that is a good way to glory. And I need your help. Would you please pray with me and for me as we go along? Would you promise to pray for me silently?
Yes.
And continue to pray for this evening here tonight. Thank you so much. Father, where would we be tonight? We cannot even begin to imagine where we would be tonight if it weren't because of you. I don't want to imagine life without you. I have never had so much fun. And in every time I've had a heartache, a trial, or a tribulation, I would never want to change it. Because it's drawn me closer to you. We learn things along these processes. We're purified. And we thank you for your major agenda with me and those of us that are called by your name. One day you will finish the work, and when we see you, we'll see you as you are. Oh, what a glorious day it will be. In the meantime, thank you, Father, that we can be here. We can look into your word, be blessed by it, be challenged by it, be edified by it. I just pray that we would have the humility to submit to you, to your word continually. And as it's already been said, that somehow we would leave this place better than what we came in. You certainly deserve to be glorified, and we desperately need your work in us. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen.
Amen.
If you'll read with me there in Luke chapter 11, if you're not there by now, Luke 11, 9, that's going to kind of be the basis of the text here today. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. And that is a faithful reality. That is the truth. God is just waiting for someone to ask. Are you confused about anything? Related to anything? In regards to faith and practice, ask, seek, knock, and it's going to work out the way he says it will. I was born a Roman Catholic. Amen. How many of you were born into Roman Catholicism? Good night. If you were, if you didn't, you didn't miss a thing.
Right.
Amen.
All right. And I'm being kind, right? I don't think that's amen. My mom made sure that I got sprinkled. In fact, my mom was sure that I would do that confirmation thing. And I did my first unholy communion. But then briefly, before starting kindergarten, there was a little time there where my parents began to visit a Pentecostal church. I know that I was not in school yet. I forget everything, but there are certain markers in my life that you just don't get over. Because I remember how horrified I was at all the screaming and jumping around. And it was a wooden floor. I'll never forget that. It was just, you know, when you're little, this looks like from one edge of the world to the next, right? And it looked like it was huge, man. And the people were screaming and hollering. And the high heels were just slamming against that floor. And I was completely horrified. Anyways, one of the better parts of that was that Sunday school was a little better. We were farmed down to the basement, and there was this elderly lady dressed very nicely, very modestly, And I learned a song, and I want to sing it to you.
Amen.
All right, you ready? I don't know how many people go in Spanish here, but certainly we got some here that, amen, we got the gift over there. Joe's learning it. But it went like this. It went like this. Palomita blanca, palomita azul, llévame en tus alas para ver Jesús. Sí, niñito mío, yo te llevaré. Porque con mamita te has portado bien. Now, mind you, I was not even 5 years old. And that was in the Greek and the Hebrew. I'll tell you the English version. white dove, blue dove. The little boy is asking these doves, white dove, blue dove, take me in your wings to see Jesus. And the dove responds by saying, yes, my little boy, I shall take you because with your mommy, you've been a good little boy. Does anybody see anything wrong with that doctrine? It's a damnable heresy. If you're good, you can make it to heaven. Isn't that what God saved us from? There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Then back to Roman Catholicism we went. And to further enhance my chances to go to heaven, I joined the Boy Scouts. Learned the Scout model law, the whole Scout law, a little bit. But it didn't take long before I was kicked out for fighting. And in a lucid moment in my life, I might have been between 10 or 12 years old, I remember thinking, God, if you don't do something special for me, I'll never make it. I'll never make it. I just knew that what was being demanded of me was just impossible. Amen. I mean, you see these priests, the way they walk around, and these nuns, the way they walk around, and they think, man, these people are holy. And I just knew that wasn't me. I remember one other person sharing that. We were talking back and forth, and I remember his brother says, you know, I thought the same thing. If God doesn't make a way out, I'll never make it. So guess what the alternative was? What does the public school system offer? I embraced evolution. Right? I mean, any inquisitive mind, right? Anybody wants to know where you came from, why are you here, what's this all about? So, what's left was evolution. By the time I was 16, I would proudly, ignorantly, arrogantly, foolishly proclaim atheism. And then around that same time, now about 16 years old, by about that same time, I read the biography of Malcolm X, a black militant Muslim in the 40s. Then gets murdered by his own people, and that just adds to the confusion, right? And two sisters, Jehovah's Witnesses, they had a massive interest in me. And I never liked Jehovah's Witnesses. I thought them to be kind of arrogant. Something somehow just didn't line up. But by the time I'm 18 years old, I get married in a Catholic church to appease the family. I thought the whole thing was a joke. And consequently, I failed as a man, as a husband, as a dad, and just about destroyed two little innocent lives. in the process. 3 months later, I met Hector's aunt, lived dishonorably outside of the confines of marriage. I swore I would never marry again. But eventually the deceitfulness of sin wore me out. Under the influence of drugs, it occurred to me one day that all people were going to die anyways. Amen? Then why are we so invested when you're going to lose everything anyways? What's the point? You came in with nothing, you're going to go out with nothing. Amen? What's the point? What are we doing here? Why even get started? Me. Janis Joplin, was she a millionaire?
Yeah.
How about Elvis Presley? Marilyn Monroe. If you're here and you can remember those names, you're probably pretty old. Little children, I was born in 1951. You probably think the dinosaurs preceded me, I promise you, by about 3 weeks. And along that time, moving forward now several years, and there was a song. Who dares to say, I remember Peggy Lee? You dare to say it? Yeah. Misery loves company. Let me read to you the lyrics of a song that would cause me to weep uncontrollably as a lost man. I remember when I was a very little girl, our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced through the burning building out of the pavement. And I stood there shivering in my pajamas and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? And then the chorus would go, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Is that all there is, my friend? Well, let's keep dancing. Bring out the bullshit. That's all there is. Were you there ever at any point in your life before you got saved?
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
I would just weep. And then he goes on to say that, and when I was 12 years old, my father took me to a circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears, and a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. And as I saw there, and as I sat there watching, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what. But when it was over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a circus? And the chorus comes in again. And then I fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world. We take long walks down the river or just sit for hours gazing in each other's eyes. We were so very much in love. And then one day he went away and I thought I'd die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, is that all there is to love? He will never leave us, number six.
Amen. Amen.
I know what you must be saying to yourself. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it? Oh, no, not me. I'm not ready for that final disappointment. Because I know just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, when the final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I will be saying to myself, is that all there is? If only we had read the book of Ecclesiastes, we would have known the answers. Amen. One day I asked my wife, I said, Teddy, do you believe in God? Though her reply didn't satisfy the answer, she also confessed a spiritual need. She desired a church, but she did not want to go back to Roman Catholicism because of a terrible disappointment. And we won't get into that. But nevertheless, while we cried out to God, God sent us some men with a 1611 King James Bible.
Amen.
And while I was still serving an apprenticeship, she got saved that night. You know why? We didn't even realize it. That we were asking. Right? We were seeking. And we were knocking. And God faithfully,
yes,
brought this version of the Bible. To my wife. I got home that night. Now mind you, let me back up a little bit. You see, poor Hector, he gets it from me somehow. here we're going, we're both going through this whole thing, wondering who God really is. And God does that. And so I get home that night. I'm serving an apprenticeship, and I get home. And she says to me, Jose. Now, my wife doesn't say Jose. She said, Jose. And it's scary the way she says it sometimes. Jose. Because I don't know if she's angry or whatever. But she was excited, and she said, guess what? And she said, what? And I said, I got saved tonight. And I said, what? And she explained it to me. Some men came, and my wife would never open the door to a man, and much less two guys. But the Lord was in it. And she says, and I'm going to church this Sunday. And she said it really in a very excited manner. I'm thinking, this woman is freaking out. I said to her, I said, well, you go ahead, but don't involve me in any of that. Secretly, you know, we macho men will never admit that we're being moved by some. But anyways, I said, wow, that's, you know. And there's, you know, there was like an immediate change. But I'm thinking this is passing. Well, she still hasn't gotten over it over 43 years. Her change was palpable. Now, mind you, this was on a weekend that we had this conversation that week. In the middle of the week, she gets saved. The following week, serving an apprenticeship, this journeyman millwright now is bump off the third shift. He's on second. Now I'm under his tutelage, amen, as his apprentice, Keith Eddy. And I thought him to be interested and weird because he wouldn't tell dirty jokes. He wouldn't laugh at them. He was extremely punctual and humble. I couldn't make him out until one day we're installing a roller conveyor. We had just drilled these 3/4-inch holes in the concrete. The hand tools did not fit. He said to me, go upstairs, get my 18-inch crescent wrench. And I opened the toolbox, and there was this black cover with the letters, Holy Bible. I connected the dots. This is a Jesus freak. Very nervously, I asked him, Keith, do you believe everything that's in that book? Well, he had a bunch of books. He loved to read. And He said, well, which one? I said, well, you know, the one that says Holy Bible in it. And it's not what he said. He said it with such conviction. He said, absolutely. And so I began to ask him a lot of questions about dinosaurs and millions of years and all the different supposed conflicts. Then he subscribed to the Institute of Research, and he would give me all these, I think they called them power packs back then. And I was blown away by the simplicity. And I realized that there were no conflicts with what the Bible said. In fact, it made a lot more sense. And he was instrumental. You know why? Because we asked. So once the intellectual aspect of it got satisfied and I saw how really very simple it is, there were two things that blessed me big as well. One night we're getting done and we're coming down the stairs and he looked at me as only a true believer can. He said to me, Jose, I know that you're searching. And me, my family, and our church, we're praying for you. The sincerity of those words just literally, it had such an effect. And then come to find out, when I shared that with my wife, she said, oh yeah, we've been praying for you. And the prayers of a righteous man avail much.
Amen.
Simply said, we desperately ask God for his truth. And he replied. And it was a tumultuous beginning. I didn't realize that there was so much controversy in what is referred to as a Christian community. Amen. It was just a matter of days where I understood that there was highly contested doctrinal controversies. Amen. It's very, very, very confusing. It got to the point where I told my wife, we're just not going to go to church anymore. Because the Baptists believe one thing, the Holiness believed another, and everybody seems to be so convinced, and what do I know? Amen. And by the way, if you see me dozing off, just nudge me, okay? In fact, I was 2 weeks old in the Lord, and here I am on a machine, working on a machine. And you know how it seems to radiate when you're saved? And this woman says to me, hey, are you saved? Are you a believer? And I said, yes, ma'am. How do you know? I said, well, I can see it. And the next day, I go over to the same lady in the same machine. Amen. I fixed it right. They just broke it again. And then she said to me, by the way, since you got saved, have you received the Holy Ghost and spoken in tongues? And I said, no. And then she says, well, then you're really not saved. Oh, what? So, one thing I was doing, look, this thing about, when I graduated from high school, look, I was early diagnosed as learning disabled and dyslexic. When I graduated from high school, I could not read a newspaper and get through it. But I had a King James version of the Bible, and when I got saved, I had such a hunger for the Word of God. And the one that was given to me was a King James Bible, because we were going to First Bible Baptist Church during all this craziness. And so that's what, I bless God, and I just got a Webster Dictionary, and eventually I got an education. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this brought tremendous comfort to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the Spirit. Amen. To one Spirit. Now look at verse 30. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no. She's a heretic.
Amen.
Why do I know this? From the very beginning, knowing all the confusion, and you can identify with this, but few people care to ask God directly, God, what Bible do you want me to read? God, what church do you want me to go to? God, please don't allow me to fall into a cult. You got to be specific. And I'm here today because God responded according to his truth. That's why I love this book.
Amen.
That's why I love to be here. I'm not a Baptist by choice. I'm a Baptist because God led me to that.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
And then here I have a baby in Christ, and I get a full dose of Dr. Peter Butler. Whoa! Man. One time I looked at, he said something that blew me away, and I looked to my wife, and I says, honey, this is probably a cult, you know? Yeah. But here's what's amazing. You know, God gives you discernment, right? It doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord. There is a discerning spirit about what is truth and error. And I could not get beyond the truth that he was speaking of. All of the other offensive stuff. And you know what? Nothing bad can happen to you. All things happen for good. I was sharing with a brother here that years later, I saw that man just weeping as he shared a testimony after he had led a big burly black guy to the Lord. I thought he was a racist. Any which way, God gets you through all of it if you believe him. If you believe him. And so what did I do? Well, here's another portion of scripture that I found to be very helpful. Acts chapter 17. It was helpful then, and 43 year plus later, is still helpful. Acts 17. Amen. Verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were. So now, mind you, I graduated from high school. I had no reading ability. I got saved, but I needed to know the truth because I couldn't believe anybody. I had to get it from God himself. And I searched the scripture. Man, every time I got a break, I was reading my Bible. I had a Webster's Dictionary, you know. And eventually I learned how to read a little bit. And what a glorious book to learn to read with.
Amen. Amen.
There's nothing like it. Hallelujah. In the meantime, as we're looking at these things, and my wife and I, we're going to Pentecostal churches, and we're going to charismatic churches, and we would listen. And I remember one time, my wife grew up, she lived in a part of New York City where she was surrounded by Jews,
We're in this charismatic church, and this one woman gets into her gibberish there, and my wife says, "What's she saying?" "Oh, she's speaking in Hebrew." And I says, "I ain't been around Hebrews. I know that ain't Hebrew." You know, it's all a lie, right? Listen, check it out. You don't have to wait. I tell my people, never tell anybody what the pastor says.
That's right.
You better learn to say what the Bible says. I do not own your faith. Your faith is between you and God.
Amen.
Amen.
Get into the book.
That's right.
Amen.
Read it and know it for yourself. And if you're learning disabled, there's a Holy Ghost that doesn't care.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Man, I can't believe this stuff here. Well, my pastor said, "Who do you know? He's probably a heretic." Check it out. And if you agree with him, it's because God showed it to you. That's the way to be united. Amen? So in all the confusion and all the craziness, I'm reading my Bible, man. I'm really into that thing. And that's one thing God did for me. He gave me a hunger. But I needed to know it for myself, you see. I wasn't that cynical, per se. It's just, how do you know? When the division and the controversy is so deep and wide. You know, I like my nephew now more than I ever did. He's saved.
Amen.
And he married well. I think I like her better. In fact, she gave me a little gift. He was supposed to give me. I have fun now, right? I told my grandkids, I says, "I was born to make your lives miserable." I don't know. We have a good time with my grandkids. This whole COVID thing, I can't concentrate. But these things, folks, these things are powerful and huge. And 14, John 14, 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And man, I was fearful, I was in trouble. And God comforted me and helped me to keep calm. Amen.
Yeah.
And where did I get it from? From the 1611 King James Bible.
Amen.
The same Bible my wife got saved with, the same version that I too got saved with. I'm thinking by this time, I think God is answering my question. From the beginning, God's truth mattered. Amen?
Amen.
God's ultimate truth mattered. I reason that if the universe operates under such precise laws, should not God's word and doctrines be as precise? And God can defy the laws of the universe. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So which Bible is more internally precise and wordy, most revealing and accurate? Go with me to 1 Corinthians 16. You brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know what I've done with that verse? I've asked people of other versions without giving away the point. I asked I asked several. These people are really committed. And I would ask, how would you feel to just give it all up and stop what you're doing? No longer serving the Lord. And they've confessed. Well, they can't live without this. Right? Look, you're pretty fanatical if you're here tonight. And then you're listening to this old guy. I mean, what, But you know why you're here tonight? Because you're addicted.
Yeah.
You're addicted. You get involved in ministry. I don't know how people walk away. I cannot imagine what it would be like. I would hope that I'd be out of this place altogether. I cannot imagine not reading my Bible. I cannot imagine not preaching, not teaching.
Come on.
I cannot imagine not telling somebody about Jesus. I cannot imagine not looking for someone to disciple. I cannot imagine.
Amen.
Not serving God in any capacity. I don't care what it is. I want to be busy.
Amen.
I'm addicted to this.
Amen.
You'll not find that word addicted in any other version.
Come on.
With the exception, there are four other Bible versions in English that use it in terms of sin.
Ah.
It's amazing that God uses that word in the condition of service. That to me is glorious. That such a word like that would be used in the context of serving God.
Amen.
That to me is just glorious. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm weird. Somebody said amen. They like it too. But here's the concordance with the word addicted. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I got a little time here.
We love you, brother.
Sister, I love you too. And I can say that. Now, where's Brother Scarson? Thank you, Brother Scarson, who raised his hand. He raised his hand proudly because he kissed Pastor Joe Pertico. But it was a holy kiss. It's in context. Amen? Listen, you know what? We can hug each other. And we can kiss each other. Because there's something about our fellowship that is not like anything else. I am closer to you that love God than any family member that does not.
That's right.
We're about eternal business. We have a cause, we have a purpose, and we have got stuff to accumulate in God's kingdom.
Amen.
I'm not wasting my time here.
No,
we're redeeming the time, even as you said.
Amen.
Even if you're sleeping there. Amen, brother. There was a crazy old guy in the church the other day when I fell asleep. But God said, hey, at least you were there. Thank you for that. Anyways. Now, is there concordance with what we just read there, 1 Corinthians 16:15? Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Folks, if you and I are created by him and for him, is it a wonder that we would be addicted in the things that please him?
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You know what's really weird? I learned to play dominoes. Hey, man, it wasn't fun if you're not swinging a ball. If you're not sliding in the base, if you're not tackling somebody, if you're not fighting under the hoop in the basketball, here, that wasn't fun. But then I realized that if I wanted to be with the brethren, I had to make some changes. I love dominoes now. And I thought, what kind of idiot goes around chasing a white little ball? I love the flavor. And who's got the time to sit there and wait for a fish to come around? Go to Wegmans. I love to fish. You see how God will change your perspective and you begin to enjoy life. You know what? If I never fished again, if I never played ball again, if I never did any of those things, this is glorious. I'm having a ball.
Amen.
I'm having a ball.
Amen. Glory to God.
I'm addicted to this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Who talks like that? A man that's addicted. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food.
That's right.
You lost everything. You lost your house. You lost your kids. You lost your health. You got a nagging wife. Curse God and die. Job, how can you say those words? A man that's addicted.
Amen.
Amen.
And he departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that we're counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Who talks like that? Who can feel that way? Somebody that's addicted. Let me finish with Psalms 45. Brother Mike touched on this last night. He certainly read verse 1 out of that. But this psalm, let's just read it through, and then I'm going to ask you a question. And by the way, I'll never ask a question that I can't answer. So I guarantee it's going to really be so.
Praise the Lord.
Psalm 45, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made nothing, which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And then thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All the garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia and of ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious with her in her clothing out of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment and needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace instead of thy father's.
shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise thee forever and ever. We understand all that is taught here. Scripturally prophetic. But can we just think for a moment the beauty and the flow of what we just finished reading? Not so unlike many others. But for me, this one stands out. Now, just for a moment, imagine reading what we just finished reading in a Bible without the these and the that. It would just never be as glorified of the Lord.
Amen.
As it is in this verse.
That's right.
Of the Bible. Try it out.
Come on.
Try reading it in another version. And it will never taste the same.
Amen.
It never tastes the same. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. God has faithfully revealed his Bible to me. He has faithfully revealed where my house church needs to be. I believe what I believe, and I'm here where I am supposed to be because God cannot lie.
Amen.
And I'm done with 1 Corinthians. Didn't I say I was going to finish here? Have you ever seen preachers do that? Yeah, I used to hate it, and I used to complain against it, and I'd do it all the time. You just said that 20 minutes ago. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I promise I'll be finished. Wow. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Amen.
And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. They didn't come any more foolish than me, more stupid than me, more arrogant than me. And I'm still at awe that I would have any capacity to serve a humble God. I just can't get over it. It's an addictive reality. To God be the Lord.
Amen, brother.
Pastor.